This is the October 15th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Ryder, and I will call the roll. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Cheryl Margamir?
Here.
Carolyn Durden? Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Sasha Futran? Sasha? I can't hear you, Sasha.
Here.
Well, I did hear you.
Here.
Joseph Kay? Lizette King? Bob Lederer? R. Paul Martin? Brenda Medina? Colleen O'Brien?
Here.
Marcel Reed?
Here.
Myself, George Ryder, Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Okay. That's 9 members present. That's a quorum. You should have all received a copy of the agenda for the audience. I will read out what's on it in just a moment.
George, I still don't have the agenda. This is Marcel.
Do you get GovList?
Yeah, but I don't have the agenda.
I got it at 5:05 today. Is that the one?
I'm sorry, who is it that needs an agenda? I can forward it. Is that Marcel?
It's Marcel, Lydia, yes.
Okay, I'll forward it right now.
Okay, anybody else need the agenda? Good. So here's the agenda. Of course, it's a draft. We call the roll, approval of agenda, approval of minutes. Now, I sent them out actually about 3 weeks ago, but I sent them out again with the agenda at apparently 5 minutes to seven my time. The minutes of the last meeting and the minutes of the meeting previous, and I would like to approve those minutes. That's the next item on the agenda. There's the chair's report, in which I'll tell you what's been happening at the PNB. There's a motion that was postponed from the last meeting by John Wenger, which is to provide all LSD members with salary information for all paid staff. And there's an item for discussion of the timeline for LSD transitions that Tracy asked to put on. Are there any other items for the agenda for tonight?
Yeah, this is Tracy. If I'm stepping on something, then, you know, let me know. I don't know for sure. My thought was that John Wenger wanted to talk a bit about the KPFK program director hire process, and he had some governance concerns about it. I don't quite know what the nature of them are that was sent to the GovList earlier today, but I'm thinking we might want to leave a discussion item there to accommodate that, since apparently he will be here.
Okay.
And this is Lydia.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Because now I'm on.
Yes, we can, Lydia.
Okay. Yeah, so my concern based on what John wrote is, number one, we are at the LSB going to have a revote.
I object.
No, wait.
I'm sorry. This is a question of what's going to go on the agenda. There was a suggestion made, and Lydia's speaking to it, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, just as a point of order, I'm not arguing the point. I'm just saying that there was a desire by a member to have the item on the agenda for a discussion.
And I'm suggesting that because of the nature of where we are in the process, that would have to be an executive session item, and I think if we need to do it next time and we should notice an executive session, I'm very concerned that the nature of our public broadcast of what may be perceived as deficiencies in a process is legally problematic. So I would say that we should not do that, and it was not...
This is Ken. I'll please go on the stack.
Lydia, were you finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Ken?
There's nothing that precludes discussing this in open session as long as we don't discuss people's names. And the process should be an open session. Please, let me just finish it. And, you know, I consider that unsincere, and it's just an attempt to not get it addressed. I know that John, and I support him, wanted to bring this up for governance, and it can be discussed in open session and not buried in a fictitious executive session. It won't happen. It is important to the listenerships about the process used by the LSBs for selecting program directors and executive directors, and the public has a right to know how that process is being implemented without putting us in any legal jeopardy because we don't have to mention any individual names.
Okay. Tracy for the sec.
Hey, Tracy. And again, we're arguing whether or not to put this thing on the agenda. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm moving to add it to the agenda as a discussion item, not as a motion. I don't have a motion of any sort at this point in time, and maybe one will arise to the conversation, and maybe it won't. But again, I feel generally that if a member wants to put an item on the agenda for discussion, and we have the time, which we do today, we don't have an agenda the size of a house, there's really no reason to obstruct that. Members of the committee have the right to put items on the agenda. So I'm moving that.
Okay, so it's a discussion of the, to be specific, of the PD search process at KPFK. Is that right?
A discussion of the PD search process at KPFK and the vote that was noticed for this Wednesday evening.
Okay. I'm going to make a report back about what's going on in the PNB where that issue did come up and is postponed. I'd like to put that after my report, if possible. If there's any objection to that, and we can have a vote if necessary on whether or not to have it at all. Okay, so I hear no objection to that. Lydia, do you want to take a vote on whether or not to have this on the agenda or not?
Well, yeah, I need to be, for all kinds of legal reasons, I want to be on record as objecting to it.
Okay, so I will call the can we go to a vote on that, or does anybody else want to speak to me? Okay, hearing none, I will call the roll. It'll take me a second to get the, there it is. Okay. So I'll call the roll on the question of whether to put on the agenda a discussion of the PD program director search process at KPFK and the voting procedure that occurred. Ken Aaron, yes vote says put it on the agenda, no vote. Ken Aaron, go ahead.
Yes.
Charam Agamir.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden? Lydia Brazon?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Sasha Futran?
No.
Joseph Kay? Luzette King? Bob Lederer? R.
No.
Paul Martin?
No.
Brenda Medina?
This is Bob Lederer. I vote no.
Okay. Glad you're here, Bob. Colleen O'Brien?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Yes. No, I'm sorry. I want to change my vote to no. I'm sorry.
I vote no. Okay. Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes, to put it on the agenda.
Okay, I'm going to abstain. That's 5-4, and it goes on the agenda. Anything else that people would like to see discussed or motions to put on the agenda tonight? Okay, hearing none then, the agenda is approved with that modification, and it will appear after the chair's report. We have two minutes, one for last month and one for the month before. We had already agreed that we would look at these that they would be sent out 7 days in advance, and that if people had objections, that they would send them in by mail. As far as I know, I may have missed something, but I don't think I've gotten any objections to them. Can we get a motion to approve, let's say, the August 20th meeting, the earlier one first? Would someone move that?
This is Ken. I move to approve those minutes.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? And I heard that in the plural, so I'll take that as that both minutes are approved. Is there any objection to approving both sets of minutes? Hearing none, they are approved as written. And again, minutes can always be changed. Okay, my report. We had a motion to encourage people, well, the staff, to a union or to consider forming a bargaining unit, and a suggestion that it be the AFTRA unit in Los Angeles. That motion is in the governance committee report to the PNB, but it hasn't come to the floor yet. And so that's where it is. Nothing has transpired on that. We had a motion. Excuse me a minute while I bring up the minutes so I can. We had a question, a problem with the bylaws amendments, which was that they were not. The general managers were not notified by the ED that they should be putting farts on the air twice a day, starting on, I guess it was September 2nd. To my knowledge, up until last Thursday, there had been no farts made on the air. We asked that they two choices be put to the lawyer, Andy Gold, our legal counsel, as to what we might possibly do, and he essentially rejected both choices. And what was done at the last PMB meeting was that we reset the notice date to that day, which was last Thursday, and we were promised that the GMs would be advised that they needed to put the carts on the air starting immediately. I don't know if that's happened, but that's what was supposed to happen. And the consequence of that is that we will have to have the PNB meetings and the LSB meetings in the latter part of December in order to comply with the existing bylaws that we do them all within one calendar month. So that's where we're at. We're basically going to have to meet in the last 2 weeks of December in order to do that. Is there any question about that before I go on to the last one? Okay. So then finally there was the motion that we passed. I'm trying to bring up the... I don't have it exactly worded, but it essentially called for the PNB to request that the vote be taken again on the PD elections. Tracy, it was your motion, so if I'm saying that incorrectly, let me know. That actually did come to the floor. It was amended by Tracy to require that all the LSB members actually look at the case for the various candidates, and it was amended by Lydia to require that the dossiers, I guess, on them be made available, be brought to the LSB meeting. It was then postponed on a motion by myself until the next meeting. Well, it hasn't come up at the next meeting, and there have been two meetings in between. And so that's where we're at with that. I had hoped that would be resolved the questions about that and would be resolved at KPFK, and we would never have to revisit that. But that's the situation as far as the B&B is concerned. And since the next item on the agenda is the discussion of that situation, I'll take a stack for people who want to speak to me.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia.
Tracy, you can put me on the stack.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a vote coming up on Wednesday. As I have said repeatedly, there will be on the agenda, there's something like a 55-minute discussion before the vote, and there will be a revote of the candidates. There was only, on our side of the aisle, one person who had not seen the resumes in question, I believe. And so when she went since the last meeting to see them, they only presented her with the top three. So that's not of her doing. But nevertheless, I think that everyone, given that there was a search committee that I think had something like 10 members from the board was already on the search committee. And I think virtually everyone, there was a new member on the LSB from the other side of the aisle, so I don't know if he's gone in to see it, but I think virtually everyone has gone in to see. It is complete. You would have to establish a precedent for all members of all of the LSBs from all of the hires that we've done over the years to have had to vet all of the resumes and gone through everything the search committee goes through. That's completely unreasonable. But they have, most of us have gone through like the top 16, listened to, the audio of the interviews, et cetera. And there is no precedent for having an LSB review everything that the search committee has done. And it took them a year. Anyway, so the whole point is I don't see what the issue is. If the entire LSB is going to be there, if we have the discussion, if we have done what we believe with due diligence, each one of us can go into a court and swear that we feel that we did our due diligence by going through the resumes. So I don't know. Personally, I think it'll be resolved. And the option, of course, is to start over. Which, again, if people keep objecting, I guess that is an option. But the LSB will be voting on Wednesday.
Well, Ken to the stack.
Tracy, then Ken.
Tracy. Well, yeah, I mean, there seems to be kind of a confused understanding of EEOC stuff here. To go back a bit into history, the problem here is that the LSB rejected the pool that the search committee came up with, which was three individuals, and widened it or enlarged it, not from 3 to 5 or 3 to 7 or 3 to 9, but from 3 to 16 candidates, basically wiping out 4 rounds of the search committee eliminations that had already been made. So that's a very, 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 very large pool, and I think it's actually unprecedented in Pacifica history that an LSB has ever winnowed a final pool down from 16 folks. The way that hiring works is that the process needs to be equilateral for all candidates, and what that means is that anyone that has a vote to eliminate a candidate from a hiring pool needs to have had exactly the same exposure, documentedly, to each and every candidate that they're voting on. So the problem here is that we have lots of LSB members, I can count at least 5 or 6 that I know of, and I'm not even in Los Angeles, who listen to some of the interviews, 3 of them, 4 of them, 6 of them, 7 of them, 2 of them, none of them, all of them. So you have a situation where certain candidates are privileged because their 45-minute interviews were listened to by more of the people who will be voting than other candidates. When you have that kind of discriminatory hiring practice, when you have that kind of lack of equity between the exposure of the candidates for the job to the individuals that will be voting, whether they move on in the final pool or they don't, then you basically have open liability on any sort of EEOC hiring discrimination claim. And all that's required there is to be a member of a protected class, to be a woman, LGBT, a senior, over 40. There's all kinds of protected classes, and there's no doubt that in our 16 candidates that several people are in a protected class. And this information that people have read three or four, that people have listened to three or four of the interviews or six or seven of them, it's all over the place. I mean, I've seen it on email, so lots of other people have. So the issue for me is that simply going ahead with a vote until you can document an equilateral hiring process is what you would call falling into a large hole. It's basically setting up the foundation to be defenseless were a hiring discrimination claim to be filed. And when you have a situation where a job search has gone on for over a year and people are already feeling really aggravated and kind of played because it's dragged on so long, I think you're setting yourselves up for trouble. So from a fiduciary duty kind of standpoint, I would have to say that this vote on Wednesday is an appalling, atrocious idea and that it needs not to go forward. If the LSB members are incapable of listening to all 16 interviews, then it would probably make sense for the LSB to work with a smaller pool and accept something else from the hiring committee, like send it back and say, we will pick from 8 candidates, send us your top 8 or your top 5 or your top 10 or whatever number people can cope with. But the reality is every LSB member has to have exactly the same amount of exposure to each of the candidates or they really cannot vote to eliminate them from the hiring pool. That's just not okay.
Okay, Ken.
Yeah, hi. Everything that Tracy said is accurate. We have documentation that various members have not listened to any interviews, and that a large percentage have not listened to all the interviews or read all the resumes. A faction, since Lydia brought it up, our side, their side, a certain faction decided to reject the work of the PT search committee that came up with 3 candidates using STV voting, reviewing all the materials, being very diligent to present, to give all candidates objective opportunities to present themselves as candidates. We read all the resumes. We even went forward to inquire on the final pool, inquire of the people who sent in references, and asked and interviewed them. That's extreme diligence. And I believe there may have been that certain parts of the LSB had favored candidates that were not included in the final pool. So they therefore did a push or whatever word you want to use for that and decided we have to open it up to 16, from 3 to 16, so we can increase the scope to include some people that they wanted to have available in the pool. So it was like a takeover and a negation of the work. So everything that Tracy said is accurate. We have to follow EEOC guidelines and have to stop all of this political cronyism. But the other issue is this. So one of the members, I think it was Lydia, just said that our only option is to go back or this, that, and the other thing. Well, that may be her opinion. We do have the option that either the LSB and or the PNB can say we accept the results of the PD search committee and these will be given to the general manager to select a program director from that pool. And we have had a precedent in the past where underneath the last ED, there were problems with the pool presented to the GM. The GM didn't like the pool, this, that, and the other thing. Those issues haven't been resolved either. But the point is, it isn't one member's opinion about what's the proper protocol. The proper protocols are listed in the bylaws. And the proper procedures for interviewing candidates are detailed from the EEOC and our bylaws, and we should just follow them. But we can come to a point where we recommend that the Pacifica National Board instruct the general manager to select his program director from the pool of candidates submitted by the program director search committee. That's one option. It's certainly a viable option. I believe at this point John Wanger joined the call. Is that correct, John?
It is correct.
Okay. So I'm done talking about that. Thank you.
And after John, if you can put me back on the stack, George.
Yes. Lydia, is there anybody else who hasn't spoken that would like to be on the stack for this?
Yeah, Sasha.
Okay. Sasha, and anyone else?
Brenda.
Yeah, John. Yeah, John Manger.
John.
Bill.
Bill.
Did you hear another... Brenda?
No, I didn't, Brenda, but I hear you now. I thought I heard a woman. Okay. So I have Sasha, John, Bill, and Brenda. Anyone else? Okay. Sasha, you're on. Sasha? I think you're muted, Sasha. Are you? Sasha?
Hi, can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, I was muted. So I'm trying to understand this, and I'm not understanding how, if our LSBs get to vote on the final pool presented by the search committee, and they have not been exposed equally as the search committee members have been to each of those people. That seems to be what is being said here, that everybody voting has to have had equal exposure to everybody they're voting on. So I fail to see how this is any different than the way we do things usually. It seems to me that if you haven't been on the committee, you did not get equal exposure to all the candidates to begin with. So, and what seems to be the problem with giving more choice rather than, you know, less choice? I could see if somebody was eliminated or it was a very small pool and people felt people had been eliminated, I could understand that better if people were complaining. Then I can understand why they should be complaining about having more people for the GM to select from.
Tracy, for the stack, George, if you could, when you're doing seconds.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to put you right at the lead. John? Actually, you're finished?
Yeah. The basic problem is lack of due diligence. The LSB members are asserting the right to vote in ignorance. And this, I believe, places the foundation at risk because if, for example, you know, a candidate is chosen because, you know, they're a white man or they speak Japanese or something. This is the level of knowledge some people have. As I wrote in my email, one LSC member voted last month without having reviewed a single resume, nor listened to a single interview, nor read a single response, you know, with regard to the references. Now, maybe, you know, maybe people think that's fine for governance, you know, and maybe think that people think that democracy is doing really good in America and doing really great in Pacifica, and voters should just be ignorant. But I've always been taught that democracy depends on informed voters. And furthermore, I believe that people who are members of protected classes, for example, members of minorities, women, and people over age 40, have extra rights and can sue if they think they're the victim of hiring discrimination. And so we have a situation there where pretty much most of the people in our candidate pool are in one or all of those categories. So we're at really extreme risk, I think, for being sued for just doing a really haphazard job, not giving the candidates an equal chance. And I don't mean a random chance like, oh, he's a white man and speaks Japanese, and therefore we should vote for him because so-and-so told me they read the resume and they were good. That just sucks. And so it's a real problem here. I think that the P&B is well aware of the problems they've had with lawsuits, and this is a lawsuit waiting to happen, and we should avoid it. And the way to avoid it is to either, I mean, it's going to take a long time because the LSB promised that they would all read all the people who voted for this, they all promised they would review all the resumes. So that's 16 resumes, and that's not very long. And listening to the interviews, well, it's about a half hour each. So that's about 8 hours of listening to resumes. And reading the letters of reference, you know, it's another 10, 20 minutes. But they're just not doing their due diligence, and they're insisting on the right to vote in ignorance. And I think this is setting us up for a suit. And I know that the foundation is not doing well, and we're 20-30% across the network behind on our goals for the fundraising. No, I don't think we can afford a lawsuit. So we should just avoid it. And the way to avoid it is to just tell the OSB, since there are subcommittees of the PNB, for the PNB to just override the action of the OSB this Wednesday and simply state that the only people who have done this process are the people who are on the PD search committee. So I'll let that be the pool that goes forward to the general manager. So that's it. It may be true that we've done crappy process in the past. That's not, and we've been sued for it, and that's not an argument for continuing to do poor process. We should be trying to improve our processes. That's the purpose of this governance committee, I think. So look, I'll stop now. I think I've made enough points.
Bill.
I'm just going to ask if there's anything this committee really needs to do. I just seems like that the PNB is not meeting until Thursday, which is after the LSB is meeting, and there's already a motion before the PNB that deals with this. So unless there's something else we need to do, it seems like we're just kind of wasting time here right now tonight.
Okay. Brenda. Brenda?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, a couple of things. First of all, I think it's very peculiar that we are making, I agree with Sasha, I don't know why we're making such a big deal for the fact that we expanded the pool. And then secondly is that the PD search committee is an advisory committee. If they came forward with candidates that the LSB felt were appropriate in order to move forward to the GM, then we would have done so. As part of the KPSK LSB, I feel that I've done my due diligence, and I feel that if the PD search committee had done if they would have moved, if they felt comfortable with their candidates, then it's difficult to say that the PD search committee did its due diligence, because some of those candidates have some serious issues, as I've stated to the PMB, and I think that's something that the PD search committee is overlooking, that even with the candidates that we move forward on, could be even potential for a lawsuit if we went forward with the recommendations from the PD search committee. I have some serious concerns in regards to the people that they forwarded, and I feel that other people within the LSB felt the same way, and which is one of the reasons why I think people on the other side of the aisle feel that it's necessary to contest this and to try to take it to the PMB, because they don't feel that our concerns are valid concerns. I feel that they're trying to invalidate our reservations upon the recommendations that they gave to the LSB, which I think were insufficient.
Hey, Lydia.
Yes, and we've been advised, I mean, don't forget, I go back for a few of these board tenures, and we've been advised by other HR consultants, when we had HR consultants on salary, who, when we said, okay, what is our responsibility as a search committee to oblige the full PMB, this is the PMB search committee, to read, like, all the resumes or whatever. And what they have said is you make them available to the full board, but they are not obligated to do that. Where the where you are legally bound, and you have to be really careful, is your interaction with the candidates themselves, which means
that you do have to ask the same question to all the candidates, which did take place. I applaud the search committee for that. So you have to, all of that was like equal in terms of the pool, or even the larger pool. And so that's where the EEOC. So just to say this, that, and the other, we have been in the past taken through the entire process by HR directors. The other thing is that my suggestion, which was the only option offered by the PNB approved PD search policy, is that the LSB may accept or deny the pool, and the LSB may also, as if the search
Lydia, would you repeat that again? There was some horrible echo there for a moment. It may still be there, but
yes.
I couldn't make out what you were saying.
I'm going into a garage. Hold on a second. Let me take my Bluetooth off. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, but anyway, so what the HR directors have always advised is that the questions have to be the same to the candidates, and so where the interaction with the candidates must be equal, that took place. What the PMB-approved PD search policy gives you as options is that the full LSB may accept or reject the pool of the search. Obviously, the search committee is only a fraction of the full body. Then the other option is that if the search has lasted longer than 6 months, it could put an end to that search committee as well and reconstitute it. So that is why it wasn't one person. It wasn't just me saying that is the option. That is what the PNB approved as a PD search policy. And yes, that would hold up in court. And there are two sides of that. And I'm not going to go into the details of why the pool was rejected because, again, we're in public session. I think all of this is very inappropriate to discuss in public session only because it wouldn't be if it were before the process. Then it's just a process. But now it's very specific to KPFK. It's very specific to anyone who knows they applied. And I think it's completely inappropriate, so I want to just stick to the policy that PMB approved. Anything beyond that is both speculative and out of line here. And there has also been erroneous disparaging comments about LSB members. Several hours, I spent 5 hours in there with six other people. And so that right there is way more than half of the board between that and the search committee. So I think this whole thing is just because the two slates are 12-12, and there was a majority. There were a couple of people from their side that voted to expand the pool, and that they're upset. You know, what can I say? That's what the issue is.
Tracy.
Okay, let's be clear for those of you that seem to be confused about what the problem is. The problem is not differential access to information between different members of the LSB. Obviously, some people are on the search committee and some people aren't. The problem is differential access among individuals to different information about particular candidates. I have on paper from a member of the KPFK LSB who wrote to me, Lydia's faction, for what it's worth, telling me in no uncertain terms that they listened to four or five of the interviews only. Those were the only candidates they were interested in. They would not waste their time listening to the interviews of the other 11 candidates because they knew they were not going to vote for them. That, folks, is a problem. That is a lawsuit waiting to happen. That email was sent all over the place to lots and lots of people. That is what you cannot do, because that is an individual stating, I have preconceived notions about which candidates I support. I will listen to the interviews of only the candidates that I am interested in, and I will not listen to the others, and therefore I am making a choice based on lack of differential access, based on
uneven access to all of the candidates and preconceived notions about who I wish to hire and who I don't. That's an EEOC violation. That's a problem. That's illegal. That's what we cannot do. The defense against that is for every individual's access to the candidate information to be equilateral. I looked at all of the resumes. I listened to all of the interviews, or I listened to none of the interviews. You can't pick and choose which interviews as an individual you're going to listen to and then use that to inform your vote. So we do have a problem here with letting this vote go forward, a significant financial liability to the foundation that's been publicized. And from a fiduciary point of view, this process cannot go forward. I'm not going to make a motion right now, but I really think that somebody has to. From a governance point of view, we need to protect the foundation from processes that will create more turmoil, and that's what we're doing here. I'm not going to get into the motivations for opening up the pool to 16 people. I don't know. But what I am going to say is that the pool is open to 16 people, then any individual who votes to eliminate candidates from that pool has to individually go through the same process to review each candidate. It cannot be selective. They cannot pick some candidates and not others to review more thoroughly. That is a disaster.
I have a question for really anyone, but vote that's coming up on Wednesday, as I understand it, is for the LSB to narrow down that six pool of 16 candidates to some other final number, which will be then forwarded to the general manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the number is 5.
To 5.
And the 5 was picked at the earlier LSB meeting, the executive committee LSB meeting of a month ago?
Yeah, that's the one we're re-voting on.
You're re-voting on which 5 or?
Yes, we're going to take a new vote.
On which 5? And that decision that it was going to be 5 was made before. Okay,
yes.
I get what's happening.
July meeting.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Our Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm very short. Sometimes I just despair about Pacific Foundation and governance in it and all the stuff that goes on. That's my comment.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
If nobody else wants to, this is Tracy. I think it's probably time to put a motion on the floor, and I'm probably going to do that.
Tracy, you have the floor.
Okay, let me see if I can figure this out. Okay, I think the motion goes, and I'm very open to friendly amendments because I'm kind of making this up on the fly, but I think the motion goes. The Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that how does it go? The Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that any pool forwarded by the KPFK LSB to the KPFK GM must. Can I have a second to work on this, George?
And then Tracy, can you send it to the board in writing, please? I mean, sorry.
Yes, I can, but I'm working on it as we speak. George, can I have a moment to work on this and then bring it back?
Yes,
and actually, I don't know that I'm at a computer that works right now, so I may have to do it verbally, but maybe someone else can type it from dictation and send it around. But give me a second to work on it. I will be back. It's a little difficult because there's lots of variables. So let me figure out what I want to say here.
Okay. And remember, there is a motion on the floor, or will be a motion, whenever we get to the governance committee meetings, or the governance committee report already. Okay, let's give Tracy a couple of minutes. In the meantime, the next item on the agenda is we don't want to have two things on the agenda, but perhaps we can begin with John stating what he wants to have done with regard to Pacifica policy, in terms of providing all LSD members with salary information. Is that a motion that you want to put up on the floor, John?
George, I don't think I'm ready to do it. Frankly, right now I'm preoccupied with this election of candidates, a subset of candidates for our PD search. And the second thing was that it took a while to get the draft policy forwarded to me from the FRAC, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I haven't had a chance to try to incorporate that reasoning and knowledge. So I'm just really not ready to move on that right now.
Okay, so we will put it on the agenda for next month's meeting.
That'd be fine.
All right. I guess I have another question. So as I understand it then, the vote that's coming up this Wednesday will supersede entirely the work of the committee, in that none of those three people necessarily needs to be referred to the general manager, and that this vote on the 16 will be an STV vote for five people. Is that correct?
It is correct.
Okay, this is Tracy. Whenever you're ready, I guess I have a motion. It might be that it needs to get amended, but I'm going to put it out so at least we have something to start with.
Okay.
LA people, please feel free to amend me. In lieu of sort of a confusing situation, this is, you know, one possible thing that could be done, but I think it probably makes more sense. The governance committee recommends to the PNB that the KPFK PD hire pool be returned to the LSB search committee for the selection of an alternate final pool of five.
Okay, so that's a recommendation the PNB would make to the LSB after the fact of their voting on this?
No, the PNB would inform the KPFK PD, would inform the KPFK LSB that the pool is to be returned to the search committee for the selection of an alternate final pool. So let me reword that. The governance committee recommends to the PNB that the KPFK PD hire pool be returned to the LSB search committee for the selection of an alternate final pool. I'm saying five. It could simply say alternate other pool, but it seemed like the LSB's desire was to have a pool of five to choose from. But it can just be alternate final pool.
Okay. You want to speak to that? I mean, particularly, you want that particular resolution of this? Or have you
This is Don Winger. Am I recognized, George?
Not yet. Tracy still had the floor. Tracy, did you want to speak to that?
No. Let's let other people speak to it, and if I want to make a comment at the end, I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, John. Anyone else want to be on the stack for this?
Lydia.
Okay. Okay, John, go ahead.
The problem I have with that is time delay. We are hurting in KPFK. Our listenership is declining. We've gone down by roughly a factor of three over the last 3 years. Our fundraising has gone up to last year was scheduled for 82 days. It was actually 93. This year it's budgeted for 91. It's going to go over 100 days because we're running about 30% behind on our fundraise. But we really need a new program director to improve our programming because we're in a debt spiral and it's just a big problem. So I've got an alternative motion which I would like to motivate if there's time for that. But so that's my comment about Casey's motion. So it's a fine motion, but it takes too long.
John, if you want to make an alternative motion, make it as a substitute now.
Okay. Well, then I'll try this. And this is just a draft, and I solicit improvements. This I'll try to make it fairly short. Motion that the PNB direct the LSV to limit the voting on the final five candidates to those members who have read all 16 resumes, all 16 interviews, and all the responses of the references, or accept the final recommendation of the PD Search Committee.
Okay. As a substitute, people can speak to either one. And
yes, this is Lydia.
Lydia, you have the floor.
Okay. So, of course, this goes beyond the scope of what the options are in the motion that was passed by the PNB in terms of a PD search process. It is out of line with precedent of previous hires in Pacifica, PD, and GM, and ED. And I need to go on record to say that I will be voting no. And you cannot, since neither slate has a majority, the fact that we got majority votes to expand the pool, the fact that we got a majority vote on these very, to include the 16, you can look. I browsed. I looked carefully at the top 16 when I was there, but I browsed through the rest of the 100. It's like most of us can read very quickly. Most of the search committees I've been on last 3 months, not a year. I'm sorry that there are challenges within the search committee, that they perhaps don't have the ability to go through things quickly. But speaking to what Tracy had said before, someone can go through and read 16 resumes in a period of time and decide they already have disqualifying elements in their resume, and so I'm not going to take the time to listen to the audio because I'm not on the search committee. And we've already had HR advice on the issue. Tracy is incorrect to her assessment of EEOC and its application. And so I will be voting no on this. I think now we have all kinds of issues that are problematic, but they're being simplified during this meeting.
Point of information.
Thank you for the
back. Or to John's substance.
Point of information?
Yeah, Bill.
I was just going to wonder if John could email us the text of that motion or repeat
it.
Oh,
sure, yeah. Absolutely. I'll do that right now.
Okay, and my recollection of Tracy's is, Tracy, are you able to send it?
I'm afraid I'm not able to send it in writing right now. I'm just in transit and I can't do it, but I will read it slowly. And maybe someone who's near a computer can do me a favor and type it. And George, I would like to be on the staff to discuss this when possible.
Okay, on the way.
And read it, Tracy.
Read the motion? Okay. The Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that the KPFK PD
hire pool be returned to the search committee, to the LSB search committee, for the selection of an alternate final pool. Period.
Okay. Tracy Gunn, and there's no one else that wanted to speak, so go ahead and speak to it.
Our poll wants to be on the stack.
Okay.
Our poll, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going? Oh. Yeah, on the alternate, I don't think you could announce that you're going to limit final voting to members who of the LSB who say, you know, have read it all, because, I mean, well, to put it bluntly, who, you know, somebody might say, oh, I read it all, and maybe they didn't. Maybe they think they did. Maybe somebody thinks they read it all, and, you know, that you would be get it going on their supposition. Maybe someone else will feel they didn't read it that well, but they read it better than the other person who. So this gets into a, I think the alternate cannot really work well, so I'm not going to be in favor of the alternate. That's all. I'll mail out Tracy's motion here.
Oh, thank you, Ruffle. Yeah. Anyone else who hasn't spoken to this would like to? Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
Okay. I'm actually not unalterably opposed to the substitute either. You know, I think the intent of it is correct, and I'm not speaking against it. I'm just going to speak in favor of my own motion and a little bit about some of the comments that were made earlier. Basically, any search committee from an LSB is bringing a pool based on the work that they did, and the role of the LSB is to reject that pool, accept that pool, or generally make cuts from that pool. It's not generally to throw out the pool and generate an entirely brand new pool. The reason for that is that the basis for doing that is based on limited knowledge, limited access to the candidates. And therefore, the normal thing for the KPFK LSB to have done is what I'm suggesting that they do, saying, we reject this pool, we don't like it, therefore, search committee, go back to the drawing board and come back to us with something better. We reject it. And that's certainly the right of the LSB. To pull people back into the pool that the search committee had already eliminated based on due diligence that the LSB didn't perform is a bit confusing, and again, it opens up some significant EEOC complications. There's two things to say about that. The first is that the PD search process was passed earlier this year by the PNB, and it was very specifically stated, and the Governance Committee, in fact, approved this, and then the PNB approved it, that it was not retroactive to search committee processes that were already underway. This Governance Committee agreed to that, and the PNB as a whole agreed to that. So it's irrelevant. In terms of EEOC, no, human resources has not in any way, shape, or form that I have seen or heard or that anyone else has seen or heard stated that it is permissible to choose from a pool of 16 candidates after having listened to the interviews of three of them that you decided that you liked best and not listening to the others. That is prima facie discrimination. And then the question is, why did the individual discriminate in this way? And you will have LSB members, if you are in a legal situation, called up on the carpet and asked to explain themselves for why they chose to listen to the three interviews that they did. And unless they have a really well-documented, objective criteria reason, you are in trouble. And I have no guarantee whatsoever, and based on the email that I saw, I think that's rational, that in fact people made those decisions based on objective job experience that will objectively stand up. In other words, I didn't like this person, I didn't think this person was qualified, this person didn't ring my bell, is really not going to cut it.
So to me, what we're doing here is standing up for a fair process, which is basically that if the LSB doesn't like the pool, then the LSB returns the pool and asks for another pool. I think John is correct that the LSB can also choose, if it wishes, to insist that all committee, that all LSB members go through an equilateral process prior to a vote, or, of course, they can go with the search committee recommendations in the first place, which we know have been put through an equilateral process because that's documented. I think both of those are good options that the LSB majority should strongly consider. But when it comes to the role of the governance committee and the role of the PNB, I think it's simply to say that there are three options here. One is you accept the pool. One is you reject the pool and ask for some other pool, which seems to be what the LSB wants to do, or you modify the existing pool by eliminating one or more individuals, which is not an option because the pool is so small in the first place. So basically, I think that the reasonable options to be dictated from above, which is what we're doing here, is approve the pool or reject the pool and ask for an alternate pool. So what I'm saying is that the options be limited to that, because really that's where legal safe ground is, and it isn't in any of these other proposals. That's all.
Brenda, to the back, please.
I heard two
Karen
people.
Brenda.
Okay. Yes.
Ed, Ken, and Debbie.